RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by KOA. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free app today.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.co to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the king of all towables, the fifth wheel. Fifth wheels have a lot of features that are attractive to the RV consumer, but there's going to be a few trade-offs for those perks. We will dive into the pros and cons of these rigs.
Plus, we invited Chris Barth, Senior Director of Product Development at Jayco, onto the show to talk about the Eagle fifth wheels, what floor plans are available, and who's buying them. Chris gives us the scoop.
You might think it's impossible to figure out what towable RV will work for your family, but we know that a good old list of pros and cons can clarify the situation. You are listening to episode 149, Pros and Cons of a Fifth Wheel.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, the pros and cons of a fifth wheel, which has been a long time coming, hasn't it, Stephanie?
Everything's always a long time coming around here.
No, we should have done this one like 100 episodes ago. But we finally got the right guy to interview.
We get to it, yeah.
Because Barth is like a mad genius, right? Okay, before we do that, we have our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by the fine folks at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are a brand new RV owner, Thetford has products to help you stock the camper with everything you need to keep those systems running free and clear. There's AquaSoft toilet tissue. It's specifically designed to dissolve easily and prevent clogging no matter what.
It's the only one I use.
Right. A lot of people say, oh, you don't need actual RV toilet tissue.
Well, we use it at home now as well.
No, we don't. Don't say that. And AquaChem is also going to keep those stinky odors from overtaking your RV. They also can have drain valve lubricator, tissue digest.
Drain valve what?
Lubricator.
You need some lubricator.
I do. Wet the whistle. Tissue digester and level gauge cleaner. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Can I say something
about
RVs? About RVs being overtaken by bad odors. In our Facebook group, occasionally people drop a comment and say, like, my whole RV stinks.
Yeah.
And we've never had that happen. And we do use these Thetford products.
Yeah.
I have never had it take over the whole RV. And we've had friends,
I remember.
Where they're like, we can't go in our RV. The whole thing stinks.
Stay out of the
and
RV.
And I just sort of semi-regularly use AquaChem.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably use it once a trip. I probably just refresh it.
It's about maintenance, people.
It is. It,
you have to maintain
the situation. You have to battle
the
odors, or the odors will win.
Yeah. All right. It's a battle. It's an ongoing battle.
All right, Stephanie, what do you got for the RV News Minute? This was supposed to be the segment that I would develop every week, but you've been jumping all over this.
What was my gravestone going to say?
Oh, my God. I forgot.
Jeremy was going to do it, but I got there first. All right. So I wanted to say that the U.S., you know, everybody's seen the best U.S. news rankings, right? They have them for everything, for colleges. Well, apparently now they have them for family campgrounds also.
They're doing something on best RV lubricators too.
Yeah, it's coming, just a minute. All right. So the U.S. news list, the top 11 family campgrounds in the United States.
What's up with doing 11?
I don't know. Not, I don't know. So there was 11, and it was interesting to see the list. And I have to be honest, there was some campgrounds on here that I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not surprised that that's on there.
Totally.
But honestly, I'm wondering if the there person that surprises. Made the list.
I think the intern who got assigned this project
had never camped before.
I think they got bored at 11.
I think that they Googled family campgrounds.
But we're not knocking these campgrounds.
Yeah. Oh, no,
we know
no.
as a fact that some of these are amazing campgrounds. Mm-hmm. It's just there's some odd ones that were missed.
Right. Like you wonder why certain ones are on there, if certain like epic ones. Like Normandy Farms is honestly...
Like Fort Wilderness.
Fort Wilderness, yeah. Okay, Fort Wilderness, Normandy Farms, and also the Lake George RV Resort is oftentimes in the camping community considered like one of the ultimate
like,
family
it's
camping.
It's like Fort Wilderness East.
Yeah. So there's ones like that that were like, okay, they're not on here, but whatever. So, okay. So what made
the
list?
Give us the list.
Well, this one was interesting.
And are they in order from best to worst?
No,
no. Worst is the wrong word.
No. It's just 11, the top 11. Okay. So Lake Randolph in Santa Claus, Indiana made the list. And we actually have people on our forum. I think Casita Dean and his family are in Santa Claus, Indiana right now. Yeah. We have a Jellystone on there, which is the Mill Run Jellystone Park Camp Resort is on there. And guess what? We have somebody who is also in our RVFTA Facebook group who was just there this past weekend with their family, and they're going to be doing a review on the campground.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
So that was good. And also Ocean Lakes Family Campground in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I wasn't surprised. We
have not camped there, but we drove through, and that's a very impressive campground.
Yeah, and people love it there. It is exactly that kind of like right on the beach, you know. So it really is definitely a top, and we weren't surprised to see that on there. What else were we saying? Oh, Camp Land on the Bay in San Diego. Same type of thing. That is truly a resort campground in San Diego. Come on. You can't beat that. So some other ones that made the list, the Red Apple Campground in Kennebunkport, Maine.
We're not familiar, but we're going to be in Kennebunkport. I'm sure it's a great campground.
So maybe we'll take a look, see around, and see what we see about that. Oh, Camp Golf in Destin, Florida. I'm not surprised that that's on there too.
People rave about that.
That is one of those places where you just basically can put your rig right on the beach, and it's amazing
Doesn't
and beautiful.
That sound dreamy?
Yeah, we're going to get there this summer. We've got a beach camping experience coming up. All right, the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas. Never heard of it. So if any of our listeners have any feedback about that one, love to hear it. Ventura Ranch KOA. We've reviewed it on our campground of the week.
And that is certainly a top KOA. I mean, that's one that people really talk about a lot.
Zipline.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that kind of stuff always puts things.
It gets into the media.
Right.
Yeah.
Clay's Park Resort in North Lawrence, Ohio. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners in Ohio.
Hey, Ohio listeners, if you've been there,
I want to hear.
And you can confirm that it's a great family campground, tell us in the Facebook group.
Yeah. And also Buffalo Lake Camping Resort in Montello, Wisconsin. So another place that we have a lot of listeners in Wisconsin, and I've never heard of the Buffalo Lake Camping Resort.
I've heard of Wisconsin.
Yeah,
fact, I have to say this because I know we have listeners in Wisconsin. I'm not just saying this to kiss up. Every single person I've met from Wisconsin has been really nice.
Yeah.
Almost unusually suspicious.
I'm not going to ask you for a list here, but when we get off air,
in my teaching career, I've met a lot of colleagues from Wisconsin.
Okay, well, they got some good universities there. All right, so those are the top 11 family campgrounds according to U.S. News and World Report. But I want to hear your top family campground.
Does that mean we have to go into our Facebook group?
Yeah.
And post something about this.
After we publish this episode, we'll go in and we'll say, okay, here's the post. We want to know what your pick is for the best. And obviously, we're going to have to say Fort Wilderness is out because I'm telling you right now, everybody will just list Fort
Wilderness.
That's
not a reason to take it out. You have to leave it in there and just let it win. Now, this is what I'm going to say.
Oh, a poll. You want to do a poll?
Well, let's do these polls, a poll in the Facebook group. Now, when they do these national political polls, they usually get a sample of like 1,000 people. Our Facebook group, which is really new, as a matter of fact, has almost 2,000 people on it right now.
Yeah.
So, and they're family campers for the most part.
So it's probably a good sample.
It's probably a really good sample.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it.
So you, and then we'll submit our list to US
but
News.
But then we'll have to do a podcast episode about it.
Absolutely.
America's Best Family Campgrounds, according to our Facebook group.
All right. So that is the RVFTA News Minute. In this episode, we are going to do 3 different segments. We are going to have the pros of fifth wheels. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the cons of fifth wheels. And then we're going to have a really great interview with Chris Barth, who you called a mad genius. I don't know if he's really going to like the mad part.
I think he will.
He will, yeah.
After talking to him for a
while. He has a reputation.
I think he's going to get a t-shirt and have put
Mad Genius on it.
But I want to say this. We know we've been doing some interviews with the product developers at Jayco. And I think industry-wide you could say this. there's some really smart, creative, talented people who get into those positions. You know, they are sort of the mad geniuses of the RV industry. So I've been really enjoying doing these interviews.
Well, when you think about it, it's a box, right? It's a box. It's a rectangle.
And well, the fifth wheel is not exactly a box. Let's flow with your analogy.
And they are finding, and everybody goes, oh, they're all the same. But honestly, think about it. They're not all the same. They are still finding ways to change the floor plans of these RVs.
Let me give you an example.
Which is kind of crazy.
Let me give you an example. Okay. So all the new White Hawks are out, right? And we had a White Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Hawk hadn't changed a whole lot in the last 5 years or so. This year, oh my God.
It is radically
changed. Like, I'm seeing these floor plans and I'm like, whoa. Somebody really thought about this.
Right. Which ways can we do? Like, what can we do to actually change the box? Because we've been making boxes for 50 years.
And that somebody was John Fisher. We got to get him back on the show.
Oh, you got to think, what is he? If he's not a mad genius, you're going to have to think of what you're going to call him.
Just mad.
Just mad. All right. We're going to be back in a minute to talk about the pros of fifth wheels. Stay tuned.
And the cons. Stay tuned for the cons, too. We're a little punchy today.
Come on, can we wrap this
up? But we really mean it. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our first segment in the pros and cons of fifth wheels. We're going to start with the pros. We're going to start positive. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the outdoors and outfit you for the most amazing summer ahead. From newly released tenting equipment designed with over 50 years of brand experience, to grills for your back deck at home, to coolers for a day at the beach, Cabela's can outfit you for whatever your perfect summer day entails. We are all packed up with our Cabela's equipment to head out to the Pacific Northwest, and you too can gear up for your summer at Cabela's.com.
What are you most excited about bringing out to the Pacific Northwest from Cabela's?
Rain gear? No.
No, well, I'm really,
I love my new, I love rainy, my new
those
hiking
Those rainy rivers
boots.
Are awesome.
Yeah.
So. I'm so excited to bring my hiking boots out. I mean, it's like the first really nice pair. I have those Mendel Cabela's hiking boots. So comfortable.
Yep.
Are you ready to talk about the pros of fifth wheels?
I am.
I think we need to disclose something. I don't think we'll ever buy a fifth wheel.
Probably not. Our boys have been angling for one because our boys tend to go to more RV shows than most kids do. And they experience what many people experience when they walk into a fifth wheel, that wow factor, right? And so quite often when we're talking about RVs, the boys will say, like, we love a fifth wheel. We'd love a fifth wheel. And let's dive into the first pro for a fifth wheel is one of the reasons why I think they feel that way. And that's that residential feel. So the number one pro for a fifth wheel and what attracts so many people to this model of RV is that it really does feel more like a home than any other RV type.
And that term residential gets bandied about in the RV industry, just like the word resort gets bandied about in the campground industry, sometimes very unfairly. But with the fifth wheel, it's really true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just because of the quality of the cabinetry or the stainless steel sink. It's about the feeling you get inside of it. It feels more like a house than any other type of RV.
And there's a reason for this. The first reason is because of the high ceilings. Fifth wheels are taller. So when you walk in, you feel like you're walking in to more of an apartment as opposed to a smaller, shorter travel trailer feel to it. Now, another thing is the width of it. And oftentimes, because these are usually heavier RVs, they very often include more slides. So you'll have, you know, often a double slide in the main living area where your dinette and your couch are going out and your kitchen's coming out. So it really creates
a slide out in that upstairs bedroom that might just be for your
wardrobe, your bedroom, it makes the bedroom more spacious.
Now that bedroom, if that bedroom is up there at the top, is not going to have the high ceiling, obviously, but the rest of the RV is.
But the bedroom being in a separate room is another thing that makes it feel more like a residence. So fifth wheels oftentimes with those stairs up to the bedroom or even a door to a back bedroom, it feels like it has separate rooms and the bathrooms feel more compartmentalized and separated from living
space. That's a huge point for me. Okay, so a travel trailer that has three, quote unquote, three rooms, like our White Hawk, you know, our old White Hawk, compared to a fifth wheel that has, quote unquote, three rooms, radically different, because the fifth wheel bedroom really does feel separate and private. And then often the bunkhouse in the back, if there is a bunkhouse, of course, I'm always thinking family units, is also going to feel totally separate. Where in our White Hawk, they didn't really feel that separate. No. With the little curtains that separated them.
Absolutely not. Now, number two kind of piggybacks off of that residential feel. But the bottom line is that the master bedroom is a big sales point for many people when they are going into a fifth wheel.
What I think your primary complaint in our White Hawk travel trailer was that the bedroom was not private.
Oh, not at all.
And that would maybe make you think that you would want a fifth wheel.
Mm-hmm. Even just the fact that the stairs often go up and there's a bathroom at the top of the stairs, and then the master bedroom is behind that bathroom. People are really attracted to that. It feels like you are separate, like you have that separate space. And that's what is tricky for many people to kind of get used to with a smaller RV. So I think that that is definitely a pro for most people. Number three, we have now, this is a big one, new mid-bunk options. This is the newest rage in the fifth wheel world. New mid-bunk options, they offer the best of both the fifth wheel and the rear living, like the traditional fifth wheel and the rear living floor plans.
You can have both.
Yeah. So let me explain this. The traditional fifth wheel, which doesn't have a bunkhouse, right? You walk in and off to the right, you go up the stairs to the master bedroom. And then off to the left, you get this rear living space with all these windows at the
gorgeous
back.
Windows.
And it's beautiful.
So if you're backing up to a river or backing up to the ocean, you have an incredible view.
Now flip that around. If you have a different kind of traditional fifth wheel with the living room to the right, up the stairs, some of them have that. And then the master bedroom in the back. Again, you have this master bedroom maybe with those windows to the back. The problem has always been that in bunkhouse models,
the kids ruin everything. In the world of like buying an RV, they so compromise what you're able to buy.
Yeah.
Those bunkhouses in the back kill that kind of open living plan.
They do. So you've always, up till now, those bunkhouses have taken that away, that open floor plan that everybody wants and loves. Now these mid-bunk models fix that problem. Now we have this bunkhouse in the middle, by the door where you walk in.
And they're on a slide.
Mm-hmm. And then to the rear, you've got a rear living, beautiful area with a dinette and a kitchen and a, you know, entertainment center. And then up the stairs, you've got mom and dad's great master bedroom. So these models are taking off in popularity, and it is exactly solving a problem that was out there for the fifth wheel line.
Also, another variation of that is that mid-floor plan office, that separate room that a lot of them have that could be like a workspace too.
Love that. So just the best for full-timers, or if you're considering a seasonal, that's an amazing option.
So the size of the fifth wheel allows for some creativity in design. Okay, number four. The fifth wheel owners that we know love the storage capacity. And it's insane how much
it rivals the Class A when you look at their basement storage. Like, their basement storage is like Class A
or
basement.
Maybe beats it, because the front storage is crazy.
Right.
Our friends that own fifth wheels like bring everything in the kitchen sink in their storage. It's almost too much.
Phil dragged out a lift, remember? Tire lift.
We were having trouble on hitching and needed to jack up the hitch. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got that.
He wheels it right over.
Got a lift
across.
System over here.
Oh, I could barely breathe. I was laughing so hard. That happens all the time. It's like Mary Poppins' bag.
I think he stores his golf cart in there in the winter,
too. I don't
too.
Know. He's just Mary Poppins, just pulling out whatever you need.
If you care about storage for whatever reason, because you're a big family, because you want a seasonal site, because it really you want everything that a home would have, I mean, you're not going to get more storage than a fifth wheel gives you.
Yeah. And so number five, this is a big one for a lot of people. You really do get a better towing experience in some ways. Okay.
Well, I think, look, I've never towed a fifth wheel, but everybody says that they tow easier. It's easier to back up the rig and park it.
Mm-hmm.
That once you get used to it.
Your pivot point is more responsive.
Your pivot point is more responsive. In every single way, it's just a smoother towing experience.
Well, also, you can have a certain length of a trailer, and you're not adding that length to the whole
right.
length of your truck because you're sitting.
5 feet is hanging over the bed of your pickup truck. Right?
Yeah, so it really reduces your total length on the road too, which is nice. Now, in some other ways, we'll talk about the cons of that you know, towing experience also.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, the bottom line is that if you are looking for something that is super family friendly, super comfortable, really has a small apartment feel, right? If you're a seasonal camper, or if you like to go to places that don't involve, you know, a lot of like tricky driving or whatever, you like to park it for a long time and chill out. You want to carry all your toys with you, you know, then this might be a really great option for you.
Can I add a quick pro?
Okay.
That you're getting all of that residential feel. You're getting, you can hypothetically get a lot of luxury that you might only see in a Class A otherwise, but at, you know, half the price.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're not worrying about the engine. Yeah.
Then you got to add the truck.
Well, that's in the cons, so we'll get there.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back to talk about the cons. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our episode on the pros and cons of a fifth wheel. Now we're going to go negative. We're going to talk about the cons, though the cons aren't really negative necessarily, just things you need to know.
But they just might be a negative for you, right? That's the thing. It's all about what works for you and making sure that you don't wind up with something that isn't a good fit.
But before we go into the cons, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV.
Maybe a lot of scratch.
Right. It depends on how committed you are or how little you can travel right now.
Or if you have more than one that you want to rent.
Yeah,
we actually know people that have more than one that they rent.
You dream about having an Outdoorsy fleet.
A fleet. The problem is we're never home.
We're never home. That's what I say to you.
In the summer, we're just out here.
What are you going to do? You're going to hire our neighbor to...
It could potentially be the worst business decision of my life. Like, I'm going to get a second RV to rent, and then we'll be like, you know, we'll be off in California like, oh, I can't rent it because we're far away.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be like expressing interest in your RV.
I think I could hire my buddy Will.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to create a fleet and then hire a fleet manager.
It would just take 90% of the profits
exactly,
away.
Exactly. Probably more than that. We'd probably lose money on your business the way you're thinking of it. All right. So Outdoorsy is different from any of the other RV rental options out there. First of all, they have a $1 million insurance policy that covers owners, all right, and that is not available from any of the competition. They also have roadside assistance. They have automatic DMV background checks, which is Jeremy's favorite thing.
Can I just say the word automatic?
Automatic. You don't even have to request it.
Just automatic.
It just goes right through, which protects everybody involved, right? We also love the owner support, like the checklist that they have for pre-arrival, departure, and return. There are a lot of reasons why you might be a good candidate for renting out your RV. Maybe you're not able to use it as much as you'd like to right now, or maybe you would just like to make the payment, right, for yourself.
Look, a lot of our listeners are looking at the RV out in the driveway, staring back at them because you're busy, you're working, mm-hmm. you got family, you got responsibilities, and you're using your RV maybe 20 to 30 nights a year. And that's a great accomplishment for you and your family. But how about all those other nights?
Right. You might as well let the RV pay for itself and pay for your travel. If you're one of those people who's like, wait, I want to be able to travel more, but I don't necessarily have the funds. An RV rental can be a great way to just get designated travel
funds. Another thought, if you know you want to eventually trade it in, you know, and you want to knock back what you owe on it, rent the RV.
That's a good idea.
I mean, if you're saying in a year,
right,
we want to trade it for a
motorhome. We want something else, but we're a little underwater.
Let's put it to
you.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Then some of you are saying, but what if something bad happens to it? There's the $1 million insurance policy.
Don't worry. All right. So go to outdoorsy.co/list-your-RV to learn more.
You should follow them on Instagram, too, while you're at it.
Well, yeah, they've got nice, pretty Instagram
pictures. They put up pretty pictures. And what they're doing lately is they're putting up pictures of their
people's actual RVs
that they're renting.
With little stories about the
owners. Little cute stories.
Yeah. Community. Outdoorsy understands community.
Let's talk cons of a fifth wheel. And the first one might be the biggest one in my mind. You need a bigger tow vehicle, okay? It's not possible to tow a fifth wheel with an SUV. Okay, just you just can't do it.
I've seen some funny pictures on the internet, but...
And look, Stephanie and I will be the first to say, there are fifth wheels that are half-ton towable, but it can somewhat fall into this dubious category where you're bumping up close to the
weight limits. I would have to say that I read a very good article in Trailer Life that was debating whether there is such a thing as the half-ton towable, you know, RV. And it's it was a technical article. So written by people that know trucks and that know their numbers. And at the end of the article, they weren't saying that it's impossible, but they were saying that you better know your numbers, like inside and out.
I think that a lot of people, look, we've learned this the hard way. I'm not trying to sound like the wise old crafty veteran here. I think a lot of people just look at tow capacity and they say, oh, this fifth wheel weighs 10,000 pounds and my truck tows, my half ton tows 12. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about tongue weight.
Right.
Okay. And that's, it can be very heavy. So you have to also be looking at your payload capacity and the half ton.
And the tongue weight, the payload capacity is what usually makes the numbers not work on half ton trucks.
Let me say this too. So the con here is that you need that bigger tow vehicle, that more expensive tow vehicle. Even if you get the half ton that's maxed out on towing, it's going to cost a lot, right? That's the most expensive half ton out there, the ones that have the max towing packages. Now, once you get into buying Super Duty pickup trucks, right, 2500s, 3500s, F-250s, F-350s, they are very expensive trucks. And we know this firsthand because we got one of them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just – it's hard to find a bargain in the world of these heavy-duty
trucks. They're not mass-produced. And anything that's not mass-produced, you're not getting a bargain on. You know, I mean, there's only so low that somebody's going to go on these.
And then if you want diesel, okay, which I naturally say diesel – but that's not how you say it.
Oh,
diesel.
We're going to have another pronunciation conversation. No.
You're talking about getting diesel and getting a new one? Oh, my goodness. When I was looking at the F-250s, to even touch a diesel was like I want to say like $60,000.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a crazy number.
Yeah.
Well,
at that point, you need to be doing something else with that truck because at that point, you can just get a motorhome.
There's a great point. Okay, a lot of the type of person that might buy a big fifth wheel has that truck for other reasons. Okay, they're a contractor. They need it for work. Maybe they just like to go to the dump in style.
Yeah.
But see, for me,
good.
I love having a pickup truck. Do I need
it? You don't need it.
Do I need it to teach AP English? No. The essays do pile up.
You don't even bring it. You drive, you know, your petite little Subaru to work.
But occasionally I do.
I drive that too.
I take the truck. I love having a pickup truck. I don't need it. So it is a little bit of a rub in our family to have a truck like that. I mean, also, look, we
spend a lot
of
time on the road.
We do need it. We're in the RV industry. Yeah. We're working in the RV industry. God knows, there might be some reason we need to tow a fifth mm-hmm. wheel at some point.
Yeah.
Right? There might be a reason why somebody says, hey, will you try out this fifth wheel?
And it made sense for us for a lot more reasons than just family recreation.
But just know, if you're looking at a fifth wheel, okay, and it's $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, well, the truck's going to cost that much too.
Yeah,
okay?
And you really need to make sure you get enough truck to tow that. Don't play with the numbers on fifth wheels. It's a waste of money because people do it and then they end up losing money on the trade.
And a lot of you are saying, well, you don't have to buy new. And of course you don't have to buy new. You can go bargain hunting for a used Super Duty, a used Silverado 2500. They're few and far between, though, at least by May. It's hard to find a bargain in those types of used trucks.
All right. Now, number two con, you lose the bed of the truck for gear transport. And that is a big deal, especially for a lot of families out there. They really struggle losing the bed of the truck when you lose that bike transportation or that kayaks, right? Like we can put, people with a travel trailer can put racks on there. They can also put the tonneau cover on and put all that stuff in there and cover it up if you're traveling. If it's raining and it's no big deal. We fill up the bed of our truck when we travel.
It's so useful. The bed of a pickup truck is just useful for any number of things. I mean, look, you can put the bicycles on a rack on the back of the fifth wheel for sure.
But you're still not going to pull out the hitch like at your destination. So you're still not going to have, like we will fill up the back of the truck like when we go kayaking, when we're at a destination or, you know, when we go biking, like we'll put gear in the truck when we're actually at a destination. If you've got that fifth wheel, you know, equipment in the back of your truck, it is going to make a difference. And you need to think about
that. Some of those fifth wheel setups, it is easy to pop that out, but not all of them.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that I've talked to, I don't take it out.
I think that's true. Like, it's one of those things, oh, it's so easy to take it out. Well, so why don't you take it out?
Yeah, because it's a pain. It's always a pain. Everything's a pain, right? All right, so number three.
Three is a huge one. You do lose the ability to fit into many state and national parks. And, of course, that's also true of a 37-foot travel trailer or a 40-foot motorhome. But the thing is, there aren't really small fifth wheels.
Right.
Okay, there are not 22-foot fifth wheels, not that I know of. Okay, you don't see those baby fifth wheels.
Right, but this is also an issue of height.
Height.
Right, so a lot of state and national parks, yes, they have length situations, but they're also oftentimes more wooded. Right? And a little more rustic and natural. So,
and there's not a campground owner there trimming branches that get in the way.
Right. So this is actually a really big concern. When we were down in Fort DeSoto, we talked about this on our campground of the week, the beautiful state park. And something that was on a lot of the online reviews where people were saying, I scratched up the top of my trailer getting into my site and everything. So you need to remember that oftentimes with these state parks, height considerations are going to be a big deal.
Because these campgrounds were designed in the 1950s and nobody had rigs like that then.
Right.
Right. All right. So we've had people in our group say, oh, I'm thinking about buying a second smaller RV, or I kept my pop-up. When I bought my fifth wheel, I kept my pop-up camper so we could still go to National Park Campground. So that might be wise too.
All right. Yeah. If our pop-up camper hadn't given us so much trouble, we probably would have kept that too.
Well,
that would have been a good idea.
Financially, we really couldn't at that time.
Yeah.
You know, if it was now, we would probably be able to say, all right, let's just keep it, you know?
All right. Number four is another height one. Okay. Not just for staying in campgrounds, but another con is that your height is going to mean paying a lot more attention to your driving routes. I came into contact with that. We have friends with a fifth wheel. A couple of years ago, we went to this campground all the time. It was a local PA campground. And they were asking me, like, oh, do you know about the height restriction on this road or this road? And it was like, it didn't even occur to me because our White Hawk, we didn't have to worry about
White
height
Hawk
restrictions.
White Hawk had a small profile.
They actually knew the different routes coming in and leaving that campground that they had to avoid, because they had to be very conscious of that, and they still do traveling with the fifth wheel.
These are the types of things you don't think about when you're at an RV show looking at the interior of an RV. You're just going, wow, this is amazing. This is residential. When you go to an RV show, you get the experience of being in an RV. You do not get the experience of towing an RV, that RV. So there is a lot to think about as you get bigger.
And you might say it's no big deal to find the route, but it's just understand that the logistics involved in hitching up an RV and moving an RV and parking an RV really do impact the enjoyability that people have with their RV eventually. So what is always good is for us to kind of lay out all the little annoyances that might happen so you can find yourself in a good position to enjoy the experience.
We want to do as much of the thinking as possible so you don't have to think. We want you to think. Okay?
Stop. All right, number five.
More difficult to transport in an emergency or a tight spot. God forbid you have a tire blowout or something like that and you need to move it. That's going to be tricky.
We had a tow. Remember when we had our like the blowout and everything in Rhode Island, the tow truck hitched up our trailer
and pulled it to
their spot. We were talking to a friend the other day, and it was so funny because there was we were talking about getting into tight spots, and we were referencing some campgrounds where we've had to have the John Deere tractor.
Seashore campsite down in South Jersey. It's very tight in that campground.
Very wooded.
And there was one time I could not get into my spot. And I'm pretty good at this point. I couldn't get in. So they just brought down the John Deere and they popped me in. Not going to happen.
You can't do that. And I honestly hadn't even thought of that because it's never been an issue for us. And then when it came up in that conversation, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, and somebody mentioned it in our Facebook group too. Like, if something happens, if your tow vehicle breaks down, it is going to be more of a challenge for you to deal with a fifth wheel than a travel trailer, because anybody out there can tow that travel trailer, you know, any tow truck, whatever, they can get that out of there. So that is something to consider. Again, just the things that aren't going to impact you at the campground, but that may impact your overall ownership experience.
All right. Are you ready for this big Chris Barth interview?
I am.
This guy could have talked fifth wheels for days.
Well, you know, it's one of those situations where we never know going into an interview how it's going to go or anything. You know, we have an idea. But talking to Chris, he was an example of the type of interview where you say, okay, Chris really deserved his own show. his own episode.
Right.
We could have developed an entire episode because he did bring in so much sort of just interesting information into the interview that we weren't even expecting to discuss.
And things you wouldn't have thought of.
But the game plan was the game plan. It was for our pros and cons of a Fifth Wheel episode. So we stuck with the game plan, but we're going to have Chris Barth on again.
Oh, we'll have him back.
Because he's got plenty of interesting stuff to say. All right. So stay tuned for Chris Barth.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Chris Barth, the Senior Director for Product Development for Eagle at Jayco, and we are just thrilled to be talking to him about Fifth Wheels today. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hi, Chris. It's so great to have you. And you know what? Let's just start this off right by unpacking that really grand title of yours. We've had some other senior product development directors on this show before from Jayco. And you know, I don't ever think we've asked them, what do you do?
Yeah, you know, it's a very complicated title for something very cool that we get to do here. Jayco, about 3 years ago, made a decision to focus in on very segmented product development. So in each of our product segments, having somebody who is just in product development, and all of us have sales background, all of us come from kind of different walks of life. Many of us have worked for suppliers as well, so very wide range of experiences. But we work together as a team as well as working individually on those products within the segments. It's a very unique approach that Jayco took to doing product development that way. It has certainly panned out for our customers and for our dealers with having very cool products, and again focused in on the segments that are most appropriate. So, you know, Amy doing travel trailers, Amy Duthie on our J-Flight travel trailers, or Brent Hamoud doing the toy haulers, gives them a chance to really focus in on their core client and get that correct feedback to make sure that we're doing it right. And we don't have, typically in the RV industry, someone in our role of product development will have sales territory as well. And so they've got another job. They've got other things to do. And we have been given this amazing freedom to just focus in on product development.
Now, we know that 2018s, and we're going to talk more about them coming up in this segment, but 2018s have rolled out to dealers just recently. So tell me,
yes.
When did you start developing those 2018? How long has that process been going on, like behind the scenes in your work life?
Yeah, that's a great question, how that works. Jayco, again, differently than many of the other manufacturers, starts on product development very, very early. So, for instance, we've already started in on 2019 development, but really stuff for us formalized on the 2018 product. The formal plan was due in to all of our different divisions here and all the different folks that are working so hard on this in mid-December. Mid-December 2016 was when that plan is kind of submitted, and then we do all the fine-tuning from there. So that process typically takes somewhere between 10 to 11 months. It's not actually a full year, probably, but realistically, there are things that we say, hey, this is going to take longer to develop and gets pushed to the next year in some cases. Jayco has its own R&D facility, has a huge engineering staff. These are also things that are different than other places in the industry. And I previously worked for another RV manufacturer, as have many of the, in fact, all the other product directors. So, again, we know how it's different, and the development time can be quite long. Good things come from that long development cycle, though. We were able to test things out appropriately, put that engineering staff to work, testing to make sure that things are going to work in the campground.
Can you be more responsive to your customers because you are focused on a smaller number of products and you're not also off doing sales because this is your job? Do you think that allows you to be quicker on your feet and respond? Because it seems like the consumer's needs are changing really quickly, or their wants and desires are changing very quickly with technology.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Jayco has afforded us an amazing opportunity again to, one of the other things that we do, we go to retail shows. We do sales training, at the dealer lots. So we're in touch with customers firsthand. We're in touch with, salespeople at the dealership level that are talking to customers. So we've got a lot of feedback. We have, email that's coming in. All of us read through all our different RV forums. There's a Jayco owners forum that I will get on there with frequency to read through
You just lurk in the background.
Yeah, I lurk on multiple forums. Very specifically when I'm interested in different items. Hey, what are people saying about fifth wheels with generator prep, or what are people saying about solar? Where are we at right now? I go out there and take a look, and we also get a fantastic amount of information that comes in from suppliers who are just trying to push stuff to us and saying, hey, this is what we've got available, or here's the things that we're hearing about. So focusing just on product development that way does allow us to respond more quickly, I think. It allows us to dig into some of the nitty-gritty details. I think a lot of RV customers, a lot of the people that we talk to, say that maybe some of the details get passed by, and it's tough to make everybody happy. I don't think we ever do that, but we're trying to make sure that we get all the details correct and are building things that are pretty but also very functional. These are things that, again, because of the time that we were given, I have a lot of fun doing that, trying to make sure that we're doing it correctly.
All right. Well, we are definitely going to talk about the Eagle, but I have one more question up this line with you.
Sure.
Because it's so interesting. Now, I'm not going to name any names, but I talked with somebody at Jayco a while ago, and they happened to admit to me that they got a lot of inspiration for their particular line and design from a certain HDTV show. Now, the Eagle has a very specific design sensibility to it. I think that sets it apart from a lot of the other lines. Chris, do you have any, Better Homes and Gardens inspiration that you want to admit to on our show?
I will tell you, and this is something that is some people think this is really funny. I'm heavily involved on Pinterest. I have a lot of stuff. Our interior designer here at Jayco is involved that way as well. And so there's.
He seemed half embarrassed to say it.
He didn't want to say Pinterest, but we got it out of him.
Yeah, it's my wife thought it was really funny that I had a Pinterest account, and I have. It's very, very focused on some things, and in fact, I know that there's some people who could probably go out there and find me right now and take a look at some of the things that I'm looking at. But certainly, House is another app that I use. We're always going online and taking a look at things. I love looking at. I have a lot of furniture catalogs that come into me. My sister is an interior designer. And I'm also friends with a lot of other design people here in the area. So there is a lot of different things that will just come my way. I love getting texts, photos sent to me of things that people are seeing, inspiration points. And then when I'm traveling as well, I'm always taking photos of things that, and again, I annoy my wife a little bit on this when I go to a home or garden show, or I go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot or something like that, and I'll be taking pictures of things, and she's thinking we're doing it for our home, and I'm planning to do the next Eagle.
Some of the best
inspiration for what we do. Certainly, we got to look at the residential marketplace to see what's happening in the homes. But what's cool is that this is a mobile product, so we can look. I can go to a car show. I went to CES this last year. that has a lot of electronics. And I can go to, I went to SEMA, a big show, you know, that's aftermarket parts, and it's some of that's automotive based, but we're mobile. So we're a house, we're mobile. We've got a lot of things going on. I can you know, look at camping websites and camping magazines and see some of that kind of gear as well.
Now for the fifth wheel, this mentality.
It's very widespread for me. Certainly, I like watching a couple of those shows on television, but I like to see the stuff live. So
good for you.
And I'll tell you the last thing that's the best is I sneak into campgrounds many times. So I'm camping right alongside people, and I don't come right out to say that I work at an RV manufacturer. Always, I don't always get bombarded with that, but I always am watching how people are using their RVs and. I've gotten some really great ideas just from watching people.
Two questions. Do you wear a disguise, and has anyone ever gone to the campground manager and complained about the creepy guy looking at their campsite?
I have been asked before why I was taking a picture of someone's RV. Someone came up right behind me when I was taking a photo of something cool at one point, but
that's happened to Jeremy too. Don't worry.
then I got into a little conversation. I ended up getting invited in and having coffee, and it was very cool. So
now that mentality you have it's so forward looking. I love it, and it must matter more for the fifth wheel than maybe for any other type of RV because it is the most like a home. I would say even more so than a Class A motorhome, the fifth wheel is more of the second home residential experience.
It is. I think our buyers, it's a very wide audience, right? So we're looking at everybody from first time buyer. We get some people, especially young families, millennials even right now, that are looking at fifth wheels. They're old enough at this point to have started that small family and they're looking at fifth wheels. And then we go all the way up absolutely our baby boomer audience that loves these things and they want to have it be highly mobile in some cases and other times they want fifth wheels to be again that second residence. They want to full time it. They want to spend that time on the road that way. So we see them using it in such a wide variety of ways, but it is a home replacement for them.
All right. So, we've talked a lot about sort of the fifth wheel, but let's talk more specifically about the Eagle and the Eagle HT lines. You know, within Jayco's whole lineup of RVs, and there's many, many different lines, how is the Eagle different? What does it bring to the table that is different than, you know, the J-Flight, than any of your other RVs available?
Sure. And what's interesting is that Eagle kind of sits in the very middle of Jayco's lineup. If you look at everything that we sell, if you look at from fold-down campers all the way up to on the towable side, all the way up to the designer, Eagle sits right in the middle. So it is the we do make a travel trailer line as well, and that's the highest end travel trailer, but it's also the entry point to fifth wheel. One of the interesting things there is our travel trailer line really is really set up as fifth wheels, that are built as travel trailers. That's really the concept there. And there's a lot of duplication there, but in the lineup, again, we're in the very middle. Some of the differentiators are going to be, obviously, you're going to have a fully enclosed underbelly. You're going to have what we call our climate shield. You're going to have vacuum bond lamination walls. You know, that's going to be common on all of those products that we make from that point up. You're getting into whisper quiet air conditioning systems. That's more of a residential style, and it's much quieter, much more efficient. Everything is a little bit more upgraded. But again, it is the entry into being in fifth wheel. And fifth wheel, if you think about this, and I don't want to offend anybody when I say it this way, but at that point, when you buy a fifth wheel, you're kind of an RV nerd. You're kind of an RV geek. And
the fifth wheel owners we know completely fall into that category. It's their third or fourth RV.
You're committed.
They're committed. It's their lifestyle. They're proud of their fifth wheel. I had a fifth wheel owner recently say, and a good friend of mine say, once you buy a fifth wheel, you don't go back. You know, you don't go back to a travel trailer.
You know, my question from friends of mine who they aren't in the industry, they don't have anything to do with RVing. They ask me where the fifth wheel is. You know, where's the fifth wheel? What are they talking about?
That's really
the thing, I think, is that we get to a certain point and that person, again, that RVer who has already purchased something, typically it's not their first time buyer. We have it sometimes, but typically not. They're more interested in some of these details. They're going to get into things like the build quality is going to be more important. They're going to want to talk about the frame. They're going to want to talk about the tires. The tires is, oh my gosh, that's if we go online, the tires, right? That's a huge deal. So when we switched to these Goodyears across the company, that was an amazing, huge step forward for us. But, we'd already been pushing on that at Eagle previously. We had used the Maxxis tire in the past, and every fifth wheel person listening right now knows what the Maxxis M8008 is. That's talked about on RV forums like crazy. It's a great ST tire. But again, we see the commitment level there being, I am an RVer. I subscribe to this lifestyle. And so it does make it more difficult and more challenging sometimes to make sure we do the coach correct. But I also think it's wonderful because I know I've got somebody who loves to camp.
Now, and for people that are shopping, give right now that are listening to this, give them an idea of some of the ranges of, weight, size, price. So if somebody out there already has a tow vehicle, a budget they're working with, they know whether these Eagles fall into their personal category.
Right. Yeah. So in terms of weights, and let's just talk about specs for a minute, right? Eagle HT, the HT in Eagle HT stands for half ton. And I know that can be controversial. Some people talk about that, but it's really the tow vehicle that sets things in motion here. And half ton trucks are ranging in capacities widely at this point. It's about a 6,600 pound spread between the littlest half ton truck to the biggest. So, and then you move into your 3/4 ton, you've got a huge spread there as well. So depending on what truck someone's using, they're going to kind of set that up to match really well to the fifth wheel. On the smaller side of the fifth wheels, we get down to just right at that 7,500 pound range, and you're talking about something that's probably 28.5 to 29 feet long, and then we're talking about a real length here. Most fifth wheel manufacturers will measure from center of pin box to the rear wall or to the rear bumper. Jayco does what we call a tip to tail measurement. We call it the total exterior length. So that length can vary and differ a little bit, but you're talking about, again, in that 29 foot to about 35 feet in the HT series.
So you can stay under that magical 30 foot and have a fifth wheel in the Eagle line if you're really dedicated.
If you're a state park camper.
Absolutely. Well, so here's what's funny is that you said magical 30, and I frequently have people come in and say, hey, I'm looking for an under 30 foot fifth wheel. And I will tell you that we've had really limited success. The industry has had very limited success with sub 30 foot fifth wheels in the last number of years. It used to be extraordinarily popular, but our end users' tastes have changed, and so 30 foot becomes a thing that people ask for. But they're really asking for, and this sounds crazy, they're asking for 31.5 feet. There's a sweet spot somewhere between 29.5 feet and to 30 foot and a half. Somewhere in there, somebody's impression changes about how that size fits just right. So we get into some of our best selling models, and they're just over 30 feet. And maybe under 32 feet. So it's a really strange thing there, but that aligns very, very well with our best-selling coaches for couples. Bunkhouses, obviously, because the emphasis on the beds, you typically can't go that small and make everybody happy. And so they end up being a little bit longer, so you're talking about 34, 35 feet in the HT series. Now, the Big Eagles pick up from there then. So the Full Eagle is not built for that half-ton truck anymore, although some of them may be towed by those heavy half-tons that are out there. Typically, it's going to be a 3/4-ton truck, a bigger truck, and we're seeing that those ranges from 35 feet all the way up to 41 feet. And that's you're getting into those very large bunkhouses. Still built in a very similar way, but things like frame size and axle size are bigger on those, so they do weigh a little bit more. And typically the cost on all these things I'm talking about, your entry into the marketplace, is typically around $30,000 on that on those smaller HTs. You're going all the way up to $50,000 to $55,000. And again, I'm talking in U.S. dollars. We're the number one fifth wheel in Canada. Our Canadian customers love Eagle, but the pricing there is a little bit different.
Do they love Eagle because it's well insulated and good for colder weather? Or, I mean, I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but is that one reason?
It is. Certainly we've done our best to be very correct about insulation and fully enclosed underbellies for us is an important thing, but you also have to talk about forced air into those underbellies, so you're ducting heat into those areas. But there's also some other aspects that are important. And the Canadian buyers very specifically go to a lot more rustic campgrounds or have less, let's say, 50-amp hookups. So they're always asking for smaller coaches from us, and they're looking for stuff that, again, is well-insulated, fully featured, yet also small. And that's where Eagle has really excelled. We have not cut features. We have made it so that you can upgrade. We love to prep the unit, pre-wire things. So you're even if you buy a something that is a little bit more base level, you're able to opt into a lot of different upgrades, whether it's auto leveling or a full solar hookup or even on these little tiny fifth wheels, a generator package.
Now, Chris, let me stop you for 1 second. You were talking size here, and you guys sell a lot of 40-foot fifth wheels. You sell a lot of larger fifth wheels. You also said that you spend a lot of time at campgrounds, and I love to hear that. Now, when you go to campgrounds, are you also looking at and thinking about how those fifth wheels are going to fit into those campgrounds and that tension that may exist in those larger fifth wheels and then them being able to actually find accommodation at campgrounds, particularly once they're a little outdated?
We certainly know that the shorter fifth wheels are much better aligned to state and national parks, provincial parks. We know we have to be really careful about that because the easiest thing in the world to build is a 42-foot long fifth wheel. That's simple. We can build those all day long. There's a place for everything. When you get into 29-foot long fifth wheel, to make it feel comfortable for someone and still find a place for everything, like I said, these are very much fully featured. So it gets really difficult, but we also know it aligns very well with our customer base. Our customer on Eagle is very, very mobile. Some of those bigger fifth wheels, when you get up into, for instance, our North Point line, and especially into our Pinnacle and Designer, some of those folks are much more seasonal. And while they may move around, they may not move around as much in terms of frequency. So they may be somewhere for 6 weeks, they may be somewhere for 6 months, and kind of stay in one spot. Our Eagle customer is going to do some Walmart camping. They're going to on their way to their destination, they're going to stop at a rest stop. They're going to stop at maybe a couple of other little campgrounds on the way to wherever they're going. And we hear stories of them going, across the whole country. And so having that smaller fifth wheel gets them into more spots. And sometimes it's the best spots too, because campgrounds weren't always built to accommodate the big, rigs that we see so much of today.
Now, Chris, we know that there's this huge range within the line, like you've been telling us. But can you pinpoint the number one best selling model within your Eagle fifth wheel line?
I can, but it's important to note that some of this is going to be based on the kind of buyer that we have, and we typically sell to families and couples. So I tend to talk about it as here's my bestseller for couples coaches. And again, it doesn't mean that that's only ever going to be two people there, but it's typically the couple that is wanting, maybe they don't even want to share with anybody that there's a room for more to sleep in there.
Exactly.
And that would be something like our 27.5 RLTS. And again, it's a very classic floor plan. Lots of manufacturers build it. No one builds it quite like we do. And it's short, it's small, but when you're in there, because it's got dual facing slides on the main floor, there's a huge amount of room in there, and you don't feel cramped and crowded.
Chris, that's what I want, but I have three kids.
We can't get rear living.
I can't even walk into those because they're
right,
so awesome.
I mean, we go to my best selling family coach then, and that's the 29.5 BHDS. gorgeous bunkhouse. This is the one that my wife wants me to buy for us right now. I have twin daughters. I know you guys have twins as well, right?
Yes, we do. Yes,
yeah.
We do.
I just fist pumped you.
I have twins, so it's a double over double bed in the back, and you know, we would have a nice full size queen, 60x80 residential queen in the front, so there's some good separation, and there's always a hard door as well in these bunkhouses, so we make it so you can have a little bit of separation there and actually be able to put the kids to bed at night. But that's the best seller in that lineup because it's got the full outside kitchen, huge bunk beds that are, again, will grow with the children as well. Many times when you look at bunk houses and fifth wheels, and we have some like this as well, the bunk sizes are a little bit smaller. And we got a lot of requests from people who have mixed families, mixed ages, age groups, and maybe they have, you know, tweens and teens that are actually even bigger than them. And you know, I had somebody just write us an email the other day asking for, do we have a big boy bunk bed? you know, and so a double over double like that with a 600-pound capacity up top, that's a big boy bed.
Absolutely.
And if you had another adult couple that came along, you even could use that kind of bunkhouse in that way.
Let's move into 2018 and start talking about some new features. So let's start on the interior. What are some new features, even if they're not exactly brand new for this year, but some new features that you're excited about interior on Eagle or Eagle HT?
Well, so, you know, if I look at what we've done on the interior, we've done some refinements. Last year we did over the last 2 years, we've done a major overhaul, both in the interior and exterior. And so this year was a year we were going to do a lot of refinements. So a lot of the changes that happened this year were less, let's say, revolutionary. They didn't change as much as they were just refinements. And so things like the new stainless steel sink that we put in that has a much more functional setup instead of, for instance, a solid surface sink insert, we put in a bamboo cutting board that actually slides along the surface, and we put in a strainer piece. So it turns your kitchen sink into an actual functional tool for you. Instead of just being decorative, it's now functional. And little refinements like that, we saw that in residence, that was a kind of a big deal. That we paired up with a pop-up 110 outlet with USB that's on some of those islands. So you have that power available. And I will tell you that there's a big focus on things like, do we have the outlets in enough places, and are they easily accessible? So bringing outlets out from, for instance, being underneath cabinets and having them actually right on the wall and at the correct height.
Right, because you need to picture where your customer is putting their coffee pot, because that's what they're wondering when they're looking at your kitchen.
Certainly. You know, I had my realtor that I use, he had told me at one point when I was looking at one of the first houses I ever bought with my wife, he told me that when I'm in there, I should pretend like I'm making a spaghetti dinner and go through the whole thing. And that helped me to figure out if the kitchen was right. So frequently, when I'm in our fifth wheels, in design phase, and we're talking about it, we're culling through the motions of, hey, where are these things going to go? Where am I going to put these things? And certainly, coffee and camping goes together. The only thing you need there is a dog and a campfire, and you're done, right? All those things go together so well. We want to be sure we're making room for those things that we know our customers are going to be bringing along anyway.
And now you need to be thinking about exterior outdoor kitchens. And I have a toy hauler. I have a toy hauler with no outdoor kitchen. That was a little painful for me. Eagle has really nice outdoor kitchens. Can you tell us what those look like?
Yeah, well, we made a conscious effort last year to have what I'm going to call the industry's best outside kitchen. I know that we have seen all sorts of kinds of outside kitchens, but some of the common complaints were that they weren't waterproof enough, that they sat too high, that they had things that were odd to many customers, like a microwave. There was all sorts of different attributes we kept hearing from people, things that they wanted. So we actually changed that up, and I'm happy to say that we've even enhanced that this year. We've added USB ports outside there. And we've added a new hybrid stovetop grill. It actually acts as both. It can be a burner and a grill. So We've made it so that those are at the appropriate cooking height as well. So if our camping customer comes up and stands right next to it, they actually feel like it's at a residential countertop height.
We have a friend that uses a ladder to get up about three steps.
Sometimes you have to have a platform at this point, and so what we did is we made it out of steel. It's a galvanized steel that happens to be powder coated as well, so it's really good looking, highly durable. But because we made it out of steel, we were able to bring it down and actually build it into the floor structure. And that's some really cool stuff that we did. I'll tell you that it costs more money to do so. And there's a lot of engineering involved, but that was the commitment we wanted to make to doing it right. We also talked to the refrigerator, the little mini fridge that's out there. We talked to the manufacturer and said, "Hey, the freezer section here. Why do we have this? We don't really want this. It actually, when it goes into defrost mode and somebody closes the camper up, it just produces water that then leaks out into the outside kitchen. And maybe you can just get rid of it. In fact, I think maybe we'll fit some more drinks in there too. And so we eliminated the freezer. I also get picked on a little bit when I'm showing it for the first time to people sometimes because we have a very strange faucet. It's got a what looks very industrial looking faucet that can be moved in many directions. It's something that looks like something that would spray coolant in a metal a processing facility. I get asked about this sometimes, and it's on a quick connect, but this is all by design. So you can pull this faucet out, basically out of the outside kitchen. You can aim it out the outside kitchen to fill a bucket.
Put out your campfire, Chris.
What's that?
To put out your campfire.
Yeah, well, you can pop that quick connect off, and you can put the hose on from the other side, and you can put out your campfire.
Yeah, so it sounds to me, Chris.
You can hose off the dog. You can hose off your feet. You know, whatever. We're basically making it so you have an outside shower on both sides of the coach at that point.
It just sounds to me like you're giving examples of thoughtfulness, like you're of usability, livability, and thoughtful design, and that's really nice to hear. Especially since one of the major complaints that we hear is this is what people will say. They say they don't listen. But it sounds like you're listening and you're really trying to tweak your product to meet the needs of people who are using it. So I think that is a very nice thing to hear from a product manager.
And, like more discerning, demanding customers,
yeah.
I'm sure, than the RV industry has ever had to face.
Yeah, like I said, our customer at this point is an RV geek. They don't allow us very much room to do things wrong for very long. Jayco customers are wonderful with the way that they are dedicated to the product and to the brand. We get so many repeat customers, and they're very vocal with us in wanting us to keep the brand going correctly.
And they all have that internet. They all have that internet. They can all get together and talk about this stuff. Little do they know
that
Chris is listening.
You know, and Jayco's business model was always based on social media before it even existed. It was, you know, we're hoping that somebody's going to talk about how much they like the camper at the campfire. You know, we know that people get together at a campground and they're going to talk about their experiences with their RV, what they love and what especially what they don't, and certainly want to try to address those things. And you know, if we hear anything consistently, like if I go to a show. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then I'm in Tampa, and then I'm out in Pomona, California. You know, if I hear the same request, I know that we have to when it's that way, we have to make a change.
Well, Chris, I think in a lot of ways you've already kind of communicated this to us through our conversation. But why, you know, you sound so enthusiastic about your job as a product manager. And I hear that coming through in all of your answers to our questions. What do you love most about this very unique job that you have at Jayco?
Oh, I love the fact that we get to build something very cool that brings families together. That lets people go out and have a good time in nature. I mean, I love doing that with my kids. Whenever I've been camping, when I was little, went on my first camping trip. Actually, my dad was a supplier to the industry, and I went on my first camping trip in a Jayco Class C to Florida when I was in fourth grade. And I just remember that being absolutely magical. And so I have a hard time with, now that I'm in the industry, I have a hard time with the idea that I would design or do something that would get in the way of somebody having a good time. So my passion on that is I love to find creative solutions to the problems I hear people having out there. I love to find a new floor plan that makes it so that somebody can camp in a new or different way, that they can take all the people along that they want to, or, you know, if they've got specific needs that their family has, that we have a floor plan for that person. The whole process is exciting because we get to react very quickly. It's a very, very American industry, you know. I don't know that anybody can kind of touch how we do this anywhere else in the world. But we have all this great land to go and visit in North America, and it's inspiring to me again that we're able to be creative and figure out ways to get people out there to explore.
Chris Barth, thank you so much for that great interview. I mean, that was fascinating. We could go on and talk another half an hour.
I know. We're going to have Chris back on.
And Chris, I'd love to come back on.
When you come back on a second time, you become a friend of the show, and you get all the rights and privileges that come with that status.
Amy Duthie is a friend of the show.
Amy's a friend of the
show. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it's an elite status. Yeah. So we will definitely plan on having you back again. So thank you so much for your time. That was Chris Barth, Senior Director of Product Development for Jayco. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to our big pros and cons of a fifth wheel episode. Now it is time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Campgrounds of America.
It might seem early, but you better believe that now is the time to start planning your fall camping trips with KOA. Fall has become more popular than ever for camping enthusiasts, especially with the addition of Halloween weekends, harvest festivals, and tailgating parties. Plus, there is a weekend that you will specifically want to book on your calendar if you are a value card rewards member. VKR Appreciation Weekend takes place this September 15th through 16th. You pay for Friday night and you stay Saturday night for free.
Seriously?
For free.
Well, we've done it before.
We've done it.
So I know it's true.
Don't act surprised.
Look, if you want to save some money camping, this is a great way to save some money camping.
Yes.
And it more than pays for your value
card. Well, that's the thing. If you're on the fence and you're like, I don't know whether to get a VKR or, you know,
you're going to a campground that's $50, $60, $70 a night and you're getting that night for free. Saturday night's free.
Free.
Free camping.
Yeah, free camping. So you can find out what's behind the yellow sign at KOA.com or download the free app.
Apparently, there's free camping behind the yellow sign. So, Stephanie, it's time for the RVFTA News Roundup, and we are back in Trailer Life Magazine, aren't we?
Yeah, we wanted to point out people were giving us a lot of pictures over on the Facebook group of as they came across our article in the July issue of Trailer Life. And so some people have already seen it, but if you haven't, we have an article called The Buzz on Bunkhouses. All right, again, it's in the July issue of Trailer Life.
Something about the power of print. People see your picture in a magazine.
They're like,
if somebody saw our picture on social media, they'd be like, who cares?
Well, okay. So this article was a roundup of 12 different bunkhouse models that are out there right now that we found interesting and special in some way. Okay. We did everything from lightweight, like R-Pods that could be towed with the family SUV up to like the quad bunk, you know, quadruple slide out, you know, big rig kind of option.
The whole range.
Yes. So there's something for everyone in the roundup. And I really felt like it was a good overview. Like, I know we have a lot of shoppers out there. And I felt like we did a great representation of sort of the different options that are out there with floor plans, with price, you know, ranges, everything. So I like it.
All right. Also, you're going to want to make sure to put on your calendar. We are going to be at the grand opening of the Cabela's in Albuquerque, New Mexico in September. We'll get back to you with specific times and dates where we will be there and where you can come and say hello. So that's it for this week's RVFTA News Roundup. So I think we'll see you at the campground in your fifth wheel.
We'll see you at the campground.